I just want to offer a very, very warm welcome to everybody's here, especially if you've got some visitors. It's been, I don't know whether you came with us last night, maybe, to see the fireworks. It was a truly blessed time, and God protected us in every single way. Did he not? Amen. There's only so many times you can call that coincidence. It certainly wasn't like that last night. Right. Yes, I've heard that today's service is all about sweets. Hooray! I know, amazing, isn't it? Next week is about savoury. The following week is crisps. So I thought I'd open with a quiz. Neil asked me to open with a quiz. So I have in my box here, everybody go ooh. Thank you. Some sweets. And I'm going to take one sweet out, and I'm going to describe the sensation, because that's the word I'd use, sensation of eating that sweet. And I'd like you to try and guess what that sweet is. Okay? And if you get the answer correct, you can have the remaining bag. Everybody go, ooh. Ooh. Thank you. William, would you like to help? Okay. Right, I'll go with this one first because it won't take so long to eat. Okay. Right, well, it's quite fluey to start off with. There seems to be lots of colours inside. Hands up. Rachel over there.
Starburst.
No, not Starburst. Still quite chewy, quite fruity, almost. Gummy, maybe. I don't know. Hands on this side. Will, would you choose somebody?
Jelly bean.
Jelly beans? No. I'll have to have another one. Keep going. This one. Chewy, still quite gummy. I don't know. On that one over there.
Fruit pastel.
No, not fruit pastel. On this side here. They're going to wet their pants over it. Come on. No, we've had jelly beans.
Gummy bears?
No, not gummy bears. Angela's jumping up. Look at her.
Fruit gums.
Ooh! Fruit or? Wine gums. Well done.
Well done, everyone.
And the next one. Oh, we'll go with this one here. Ooh. Ooh. Hmm. I've really never seen these sweets before. But anyway. Ooh, it's got a funny taste. Children won't like this taste. Sort of licorice-y, maybe. I don't know. Chewy. It's got like thousands and whatever's on top of it. Mm. Oh. Ooh. 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 I think she might have it.
Blue and pink.
Blue and pink. You're there on colour. What's the flavour in? Aniseed. Well, they're called jelly buttons. I would never have known that.
Yeah,
I will take that. For those of you just for... That's what they look like.
Yeah.
That's what you meant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Right. Ooh. I'm going to have to take this one out of the wrapper.
Hold on.
Wow, this is a sucky one. You have to suck it for a long time. Sort of minty, maybe. Got a soft centre. Mm. Try that, so I will, because, you know, Joe had her hand. How do you have her hand?
Hamburgs.
Well done. Do the wrapper on this one as well.
Don't say anything, Matthew, if you see it.
Don't get this one too quick, because it's good. Sort of
quite hard, maybe a bit chewy on the outside. Ooh, I've got to a Santa. Ooh, I don't really like chocolate. That's all right. Sort of chocolatey Santa. I'll try over that side over there, Gemma, maybe.
Chocolate eclair.
Well done, chocolate eclair.
Please be seated. Just in case you don't know where the voice is going from, I'm here. Okay. A couple of things. If you have missed it, we've got a little space just at the back there. If you have little ones, toddlers that are finding this church service a little too long or whatever, they've got a bit of space over there. Okay. This is an all-in service, and there will be a lot of people involved. And in the course of this service, I'm really praying that all of you will hear something that means really something to you. I'm looking for the next. There we go.
I think I'm meant to be here as the heavy bit. This is one of the teaching bits that the lesson this morning we want to learn about is prayer, particularly the asking side of prayer. And a couple of verses that have been suggested are this. In Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, to who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then we turn on to John. John was one of Jesus' disciples. In fact, I think John was one of Jesus' best mates. And he said, this is the confidence we have when approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So there it is, two verses categorically saying, whatever you ask will be given to you. It then does start to say, whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. And if we just had those two verses, we could probably go along away from here thinking, gosh, I can ask for anything. And just like this sweet shop here, we could go away and have a big field day. But is it as simple as that? Let me just give you some guidelines of some of the other teaching in the Bible. That's just two verses out of dozens and dozens about prayer. What about when Jesus prayed? Were all Jesus' prayers answered? What about that time when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Gethsemane is the place where they press the olives. And Jesus felt really under pressure. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be crucified. That is a cruel form of execution. And he said to his father, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But nevertheless, what you want, your will be done. And as you know, Jesus, who was God's beloved son, God loved Jesus, and yet he didn't answer that prayer. He let him die, because if he had answered that prayer, you and I wouldn't have had the salvation that we know. So there's one answer to prayer that didn't happen exactly as it was asked in the first place, but was asked in his name, if you like, to do his will. Does God always answer prayer? Well, you've probably heard people say, yes, he always answers prayers, but not necessarily in the way that we asked it. But sometimes God filters prayers. Listen to this in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. This is something we need to bear in mind when we're talking about prayer. Right, where is it? I made a note. 15. When you spread your hands in prayer, okay, when you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. What? Is this the same God that we're talking about that we just said, I'll give you anything that you ask in my name? And you say, why? He says, your hands are full of blood. You've done wrong. He says, come, wash yourselves, make us clean. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. And God is saying to us, it's okay, you asking for what you want, but you're not doing what I want. You're doing all the wrong things. Sometimes we need to be persistent in prayer. We need to keep on asking. Sometimes we need to be absolutely earnest in prayer. We need to perhaps fast and pray. The disciples found this out. They'd been out healing before, but suddenly they met something that they couldn't deal with. And when Jesus came and dealt with it, he said, this can only be done by prayer and fasting. Does God answer prayer? Well, God's good at this. Daniel, when he prayed, he was asking to be taken back to his home country. And he had a message straight away from God saying, when you started praying, I answered. And in Isaiah, then this is the last verse I want to leave you with. You'll love this verse. I'm going to read it as it is. Isaiah chapter 65. If you've got your Bibles, if you've got a biro, underline it. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. So yes, God does and can and will answer. So, do we treat God as some overindulgent sugar daddy? How are we going to learn some of these difficult lessons? I tell you what, why don't we do what Jesus did? He spoke to the people in parables, in stories, in sketches. We're going to have some sketches this morning, and we're going to have some sketches about a man called Mr. Eddie Clare. So watch this space here, because I present to you Mr. E. Clare. Sugar daddy. See if it's what you think it is.
Oh, good morning, young man. What can I do for you? Would you like some super chews or bonbons or how about some Gobstoppers?
Got any jelly tonight?
Jelly tights. Jelly tights? No, no, we've got some jelly babies or jellied fruit.
No, not jelly tights. Jelly night. The explosive boom.
You're not joking, are you? Well, I'm afraid there's not a lot of call for that, given that this is a sweet shop. I mean, you're probably 9 years old. What are you doing with Jellignite?
It's my teacher. He's really getting on my nerves. He never stops talking.
Oh, I see. And you're giving a bit of a surprise boom boom, I suppose. Can I suggest perhaps some chewing gum? That's good at shutting people up and not quite as destructive as high explosives.
What about a beer? I can murder a drink.
Well, I'm sorry, we only sell lights, refreshments, Vimto and Coca-Cola, and we've got some dandelion and burdock at a push.
Listen here, mate. Are you telling me you ain't got no booze in the establishment?
Well, there might be some Cadbury's rum and raisin somewhere, but... It might be out of its sell-by date.
I guess the next thing you're going to say is you don't do weapons either.
No weapons.
Grenades.
All out of grenades.
Thumb screws.
No.
Lemon bonbons.
Lemon bonbons. Yes, we have some lemon bonbons. You did say bonbons and not bonbons, didn't you?
Yes, bonbons.
Yes, good. Thank goodness. We have some lemon bonbons here. Ah, yes, here we are. I mean, you're 9 years old. Whiskey, gelignite. There you go, Sonny. 20p, please. Thank you.
My teacher would love these. He's well allergic to sugar.
Does it always do that? I used to work at this place with a door just like that. Then one of the customers dropped his fish and chips underneath it. Never squeaked after that. I was wondering if you can help me. I've been to like 3 of the sweet shops in the high street and they haven't got what I'm looking for. Well, I went to Tenby last year for a holiday and I had these really nice mint chocolates. Not soft centres like After Eights, but they were crispy inside, wrapped in foil, a bit of class, you know. I just lost my job, you see, and the typing team, they clubbed together and got me some. It was really nice of them.
Oh, okay. So, what would be so? How about? I think it's Bendix mints. These are really for the discerning chocoholic, and this is the last box.
Oh, brilliant! Oh, that would really cheer me up. There isn't a lot of work here, you know.
Well, they're classy, but they're not cheap.
No.
£14.99.
Oh, that's disappointing. Do you mind holding them for me? I've got an interview next week, and you never know, might get something
yes.
in.
Yes, of course.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Just a moment. Did you say you used to work in a shop?
Yeah, just a small place.
Okay. Well, I could use a hand around here with some odd jobs and things that need doing, and the company would be good. I mean, I can't pay you anything, but you know, you could work towards getting your box of mints.
That would be great. I mean, I can start right now if you want. Oh, I'm so sorry. I won't get in your way, I promise. I'm very good with the customers. I'm Lucy.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Weren't they good? Weren't they good? Sometimes we ask for what we shouldn't ask for, and God is very gracious to us. I think actually the children have got the inside edge on all of this, because you see, they're used to asking Dad for things, and they know sometimes Dad will say no. So it's easier for them to learn this lesson, really, on trusting when Dad says no. Sometimes we grow up, and when we're adults, we think we kind of know more than the children know. But it says in the Word, come to God like a child, and he will understand, and he will answer your prayers. Not necessarily yes, not necessarily no. And I think a lot of the times it's not yet. You see, if he'd have sold him the gelignite to blow the teacher up. Good idea today, maybe. Perhaps next week wouldn't have been such a good idea. But it's the consequences of getting what we've asked for when we're demanding like that that aren't good. And God knows the consequences. So I think us adults should take a lesson from the children. When Dad says no, it's no.
That door is a little squeaky. And it's raining the cats and the dogs out there.
Oh, I'm afraid it's what it's forecast, sir. Now, what can I do me for?
Ah, Yeah, my good man. I look for the Baco confectionery. Something that is appropriate for my years and my profession as a professor, yeah? Something that is discreet, not too silly. So when I chew in the meetings or und lecture, yeah? Something that will not ruin my appetite, yeah?
Well, I think we have the perfect thing for you, sir.
Oh,
it's the Total Invisible Sweet. Can you see it in there?
I see nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, enough of this silliness. I am told of the Murriment, a confectionery with distinction, yeah? With a certain je ne sais quoi. Oh, no, that's French, isn't it? Something that will... in fact, I see you have some. Right there, yeah? Maybe we've won the bar.
I'm afraid they're not for sale today, sir.
What do you mean not for sale? They're there, in your hand.
Yes, well, they're not opened, and the tape seal is very strong.
Oh, I can open it. I've got very sharp nails.
No, Lucy, no. I don't want to ruin your manicure, not on your first day.
You already did.
This box, I'm afraid it needs a special tool to open the tape, and that isn't available today. In fact, it's not available all week, so I'm afraid the Murriments are off. I can offer you some Cornish toffee.
Nine too sticky?
Coconut chunks.
Hey, they make my tongue bleed.
How about some cherry kisses?
Do I look like the cherry kiss person? Nine. I come here for the Murriments. Yeah? I come here in the pouring rain. I come all the way. And you have Murriments. You have not one, not two, but a whole box of the Murriments. And yet you deny my craving? This is ridiculous. Good day, sir.
Well?
That was quite mean of you. I could have easily opened it.
Well, there's something you don't know. Look, when I was working late last night, a rat the size of a small Labrador ran across the floor and jumped into this box of Murriments.
It could still be in there. Take it away. There could be nests of giant rats in there.
Yes, I know, but I was too embarrassed to tell the professor that. Just in case he put his hand to it, took a mint out, and there was some rat poo on there.
Probably thought you could have put in some chocolate raisins in there for free.
Oh. Good day. Oh. Edgar Toffee Nose is the name. I'm after some chocolates for my wife.
You'll find a great selection here, sir. They're the top shelf over there.
Yes, no doubt. But Mrs. Toffee Nose is, well, how can I put it, rather particular. She doesn't like soft centres, can't abide nuts, dark chocolate doesn't agree with her at all, and she has a sneezing fit if she comes within 20 miles of truffles. If I buy her a big box of chocolates with a single layer, well, when we get to the end, she starts crying because there's nothing underneath. And if I buy a double layer box, it's just not big enough. I've tried Belgian, Swiss, German Black Forest, top-notch liqueurs, fair trade, artisan, organic. She's hates the lot of them. You name it, and she's tried it. And I've been away for about last month, so I've really got to make this present count.
Sounds as if you've got a real challenge there, sir. My Edna, she doesn't like nuts. Terrible things with her false teeth. The best chocolate she had, she received in a shoebox from my lad, Ken.
A shoebox?
Yeah, he was about 10 at the time, and he got it into his head. He wanted to make his mum some chocolates. Yes, I think I've got the answer to your problem. Lucy, could you grab the dried fruit at the top there, please? Thank you. And some milk chocolate, a few bars of that. Thank you. Now, sir, do you think you can carve out an hour or so in your busy schedule?
Let me check a minute. Probably move some things around, make a slot. Yep, I think I can just about fit it in.
Well, when you get home, lock yourself into the kitchen.
Kitchen?
First on the left, isn't it?
Okay.
Make sure you do it when Mrs. Toffinose is at the polo club or at the bingo. If you melt the chocolate into a bowl, put in the dried fruit, then take them out on a piece of greaseproof paper and allow them to cool. Okay. Find an ice box, wrap it with crepe paper and put the chocolates inside. It works. Ken's present was wonderful. Edna loved it.
And I've got a lovely box my champagne comes in. I could put the chocolates in that and then I could write Margot's name in gold letters on the top, made by my very own hands.
Oh, Cher love it, sir. Women love handmade chocolates like that. I mean, Edna, she cried when Ken gave her hers.
She was so overjoyed?
Well, no, not really, Ken, bless him. He forgot to take the shoes out first. Got chocolate all over her best pair of Doc Martens.
Well, Mr. Clare, you are a genius. Now, how much do I owe you?
That's £4.72. Call it £6.
There's a fiver. Keep the change.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that there was a German accent. I'm not too sure. Okay, so I'm going to do a proper accent, a proper Somerset accent, and this is me just speaking to you. Okay, I want that one. I want that. This is what I want, and the customer is always right. Well, maybe not always. Maybe not always. Maybe this shopkeeper knows his business. He knows what it's all about, and maybe his suggestions could be a better option. Okay, we tend to want what we see. And we tend to go through life sometimes as if life was a big catalogue with loads of pictures, loads of things that we are ready to desire. And, okay, desire, that's a good word. And if you want to do some thinking this week, here's one that is not going to disappoint you. It's called mimetic desire. I'm sure you can Google it, and it's quite an interesting one, mimetic desire. The way it works, if we accept the premise, is that what we want is normally what we see. We are going to want what other people want. And I'm sure that if you've observed a few kids in your life, you will notice that as soon as one wants something, there's quite a few others that want it as well. And that is, I believe, something which is quite rooted in the human nature. We want what other people want. We certainly don't want to miss out. Okay, there's a nice label for it, mimetic desire. We need to resist the trends sometimes. We need to be aware of our desires. We need to be able to make the difference between what is desire, what is need, what really matters, and what is quite a little bit of sugar dust on top of things, but not the real thing. Now, we're not talking about sweets, really, because I don't like sweets. I'm one of those. I just, you know, never liked sweets, even as a kid. Just, you know, cheese, okay. But, you know, sweets, no, forget it. Prayer. Prayer, as a word, comes from a root that that has something to do with asking. Pregare, pregunta, if you speak a bit of Spanish, that is asking. Prayer, as a word, in the English language, is really deeply connected with asking. And obviously, there are some very, very genuine needs that we want to see answered. Prayer is also a time off. Time off that should give us the opportunity to enter in a conversation with God in this conversation with God, prayer is a test. It's a sieve. It's a time for discriminating between what is simply desire, what others want, and therefore I should want as well. And sometimes it is not very relevant. Prayer is time off. A time off so that things can get clearer in your mind, so that you need to decide what you really, really want, which is better if it's what really matters. So yes, sometimes we do not get the sweets we wanted to get, and in that case, not getting it is the answer to our prayer. Not the answer we wanted, but the answer we needed most.
Time now, Gran. Mind the steps.
Steps?
Steps.
Oh, right.
There's four. Four steps, Gran.
How many?
Four.
Four?
One, two, three.
Four what?
Four steps.
Steps, okay.
It's shut, Gran.
What? It's shut?
Yes, it's shut.
What? Shut?
Shut. Yes, it's not open.
What? Not open?
No, not open, Gran.
What about me wine gums?
Can't get your wine gums, Gran. It's not open.
Not open? What about me wine gums?
Gran, don't excite yourself. What? Remember what the doctor said.
What did the doctor say?
Can't get your wine gums. Come on now. Too early for their lunch break.
Lunch? I don't want lunch. I want me wine gums.
Come on, Gran. Let's go to the bingo. The bingo, Gran.
Bingo? Do you need any wine gums at bingo?
Come on.
Oh, if I don't win. No, I wanted me wine gums more than that.
I just wanted to ask some of the children, how do you think that old lady felt in that sketch? Oh. You'd like to tell me. How did she feel?
Sad.
She felt sad, didn't she? Any other things she might have felt? Anyone else want to suggest how she might have felt? Jeffrey, how do you think she felt? She didn't get her wine gums, did she?
Yeah.
That would be a nightmare, Jeffrey, if you didn't get your biscuits this morning, wouldn't it? That was really... And why do you think that Mr. Clare, the shopkeeper, why do you think he didn't answer the door? Who's got an idea why they don't think he answered the door? Does anyone want to put their hand up? Haven't got a clue?
Here we go.
They were closed, yeah? He wasn't there. Maybe he wasn't there. Yeah, he could have been deaf. He could have been in the back of the shop, not listening. Or he could have been even trying to play a trick on the old lady, which would have been a bit nasty, wouldn't it, if he'd been doing something like that. Do you know what? Often, I feel a bit like that. I come to read my Bible or I come to pray to God, and it feels as if I'm banging on that door, and I feel as if God is in the back room somewhere deaf and he's not really listening, and I just there at that door feeling really sad and really frustrated. Has anyone else here ever felt a bit like that sometimes? Well, quite a lot of us feel like that sometimes, don't we? That can be really hard. And do you know what the answer is in the Bible? There isn't an answer in the Bible. Because sometimes it just seems like God is silent and he's not there. And that is hard to deal with. And that is, they don't always tell you that when people are trying to get you to be a Christian. I'll tell you in a minute about when I tried to become a Christian. But they don't always tell you that. Sometimes God is silent and it's really hard. But I've got two things I'm going to share with you which help encourage me when I'm trying to think about that. The first one is that we are not on our own. If you look at the writings of many of the really fantastic super Christians like Mother Teresa or C.S. Lewis, and you see they've all been through times in their lives when they struggled and they couldn't hear from God. And when you look in the Bible, it's quite interesting, the Bible, when you think about it. It's God's book. He made it happen. But when you look inside it, it's not just full of super Christians saying, oh God, we love you, we praise you, you're fantastic God. God could have put all those people in it. But if you open the book of Psalms, it's full of different people moaning to God and saying, God, where are you? I'm having an awful time. And where are you? Come and help me, God. And people sort of saying quite sometimes quite nasty things about God. But God has allowed that to be in his book in the Bible, because I think he wants us to understand that that's part of life. That's what we sometimes really struggle with. And the amazing thing is that even God himself knows what it's like not to be close to God and not to hear from God. And you might think that sounds really complicated, Neil. It's like one of those the Doctor Who plots on a Saturday night that I never understand anything that's going on in Doctor Who. I never know what's going on. But what I'm trying to mean is that God sometimes seems very distant from God. Think about Jesus. Jesus was hanging on the cross just before he died. He called out to God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think at that very moment, some people think that God withdrew himself from Jesus. So Jesus felt totally alone. Totally, he was crying out to God, and God wasn't there. At that one moment in his life, his Father God wasn't there with Jesus. And that, my God, why have you forsaken me, is from a psalm, Psalm 22, Jesus was quoting. The whole of that psalm, the last three lines say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? So Jesus was really being honest with God and saying, God, where are you? And I take a lot of comfort from the fact that even Jesus himself had a moment when he struggled with that, saying, where are you, God? The second thing that gives me encouragement is the truth that sometimes when someone withdraws and takes themselves away from us, those are the times sometimes that we grow really well. Now, I'll give you a good example. When I was little, one of my best memories was learning to swim. Who's had lessons in the swimming pool learning to swim? The young people and the grown-ups, you know. Yeah. My dad was teaching me to swim. And what did he do to teach me to swim? He let go of me and he took three steps back in the pool. And I'm there splashing away and I'm going, Dad, stop moving, Dad. And as I'm swallowing water. And I felt really angry at my dad and really cross with him. And I thought he was being really mean to me because he was moving away from me. But you know, the reason he was doing that, we all know, was because he had to withdraw. He had to take himself away so that I would learn how to swim, so that my muscles would get strong, and so that when I'm older, I am safe when I'm in the water. I know how to swim. And so that part of God sometimes has to pull himself away so that we have to work a little bit to get closer to God. And that makes us stronger as Christians. I'll give you the example in my life was when I was at university and I was really skeptical about Christians and Jesus, and I thought it was all a load of rubbish. and I asked lots of questions, and finally my mind was turned around and I decided I wanted to become a Christian. And so I thought, right, in the summer holidays I'm going to take myself off to a lovely place with some lovely woods and a cliff, and I'm going to sit on the top of that cliff and I'm going to say the prayer to God. And that's what I did. I sat on the top of the cliff, I prayed to God, and I asked him to take my sins away, and I asked God to come into my life and Jesus to be my friend. And do you know what? I wasn't expecting like the heavenly host of angels appearing in the sky. I wasn't really expecting this great white ladder to descend and this guy in a big white sort of toweling coat to come down. But I did sort of in my heart of hearts, I just hoped I would have a tiny little glow, a tiny little feeling that God was there with me, just with his hand on my shoulder saying, Neil, you have done the right thing. And do you know what happened when I prayed that prayer? Nothing happened. There was just silence. There was just, well, there was the leaves, and the breeze in the trees, and there was just the beautiful sun on my back, and there was nothing though. But I knew I'd done the right thing. So I thought, no, that's it. You're real, God. I've got to start walking in this. And one of the things I had to do straight away, God wanted me to do, I was in a relationship with this girl, and I just knew at that time it was the wrong relationship. We were doing things we shouldn't have been doing, and God said to me, you've got to end that relationship. He didn't say to me, but I felt like that I should end that relationship. So I had to go and have this big conversation with this lovely lady. And she was very upset and I was very upset. I was driving home down the M25. It was pouring with rain. The windscreen wipers are going. And I was so angry with God. I was really cross. I was going, God, I have given up everything now for you. I've given up my chances with this girl. I've given it all up for you. You better be real, I said to God. And I was, God doesn't mind when we get angry with him, you know. He actually likes it because we're being real with him. And I was angry with him that day. And I said, you've got to be real, God. And again, I was kind of hoping maybe there'd be a little rainbow over the M25. Or maybe just a little, God, just give me a little, sort of a little sign that you are there. And on that particular day, God didn't do anything. There was just me crying at the steering wheel, driving home, feel very empty and lonely. But when I look back at that time in my life, I knew that was a time I really got my faith going, that I really had to keep going because I knew the truth in my head. I didn't have to have feelings. I had to just start walking as a Christian. And I think God, a bit like my dad teaching me to swim, God was just pulling himself back. God wasn't at the sweet shop and I was banging on the door and God wasn't there. But that's now made me, hopefully, a stronger Christian so that when things don't always go the way I want them, I think back to that event and I think, yeah, that I don't need those things to go my way because I know God is there, he's in charge, but he doesn't always make himself obvious to us. And I'll give you a good example, person who really inspires me. This book I've been reading by Pete Greig, it's called God on Mute, and it deals with a lot of these issues about unanswered prayer. He says, when we need to engage, he says, the silence of God and turn it into a creative force in our lives. And one person who did that in their life is a guy called Joseph Scriven. He was a young man in his 20s in 1842. He just graduated from Trinity College in Ireland. He just got this lovely girlfriend who'd fallen in love with from his childhood home. And they were planning to get married. And they were looking forward to their future together. On the night of the wedding, his girlfriend decided she just wanted to go and see her fiancé one last time. So she climbed on her horse, in the olden days, 1842, and she rode over to see Joseph. He came out to see her. Just as she was approaching, she went over a bridge. The horse got spooked by something, reared up. She was thrown off the horse into the swirling waters of the river. She got swept away. He tried to rescue her, but he didn't manage it, and she died on the night of their wedding. So he was, of course, heartbroken and angry as a young Christian man. And he ran away from that. He ran away from his family. He ran away from his friends. He emigrated halfway around the world to Canada. And it took him 12 years before he met somebody else. And he met another beautiful girl called Eliza Roche. And this beautiful girl, again, he'd fallen in love. They were going to get married. A few days before the wedding, she came down with a nasty illness, so they had to postpone the wedding. again. And then she didn't get better. She got worse and she got worse. And it was 3 years later that she finally died of pneumonia. And they'd never fixed the date properly for the wedding again. So he was, another person was taken away from him. So you imagine how he felt. And he was so sad and so angry with God, but he still held on to his faith. And his mum was back in Ireland and she became ill. And so he wrote her a letter to encourage her. He wrote her a poem, actually. And that poem we know nowadays because somebody took that poem many years later. They took the poem and they set it to music. And it's become one of the best loved hymns that we sing at churches. And churches all around the world know this hymn. And it's become an encouragement for people when we're praying to God about why we pray to God. God doesn't guarantee everything's going to be perfect. But we're going to stand, we're going to sing that song. And while we're singing that song, if you children are getting restless and you'd like something to do, Sally's going to be at the side here. And if you want to make some wrap some sweets up as some presents for the people here today, we would love you to come and wrap a few sweets up for the rest of the service. If you'd like something to do, just a few of you want to go and do that, then you can do that while we're singing this next hymn.
Sweets, because your dad's paying, and you can have whatever you like. You want this one? Oh, we'll put that on your dad's bill if you like. But you can have that if you like. Oh, I tell you what. Have a little look at those. Any of those you fancy? These ones here. I think there's some special ones in there. We've got some Coca bottles in there. Who likes those? Do you like Coca bottles? No, this one in here? You like these? What are these ones? These are like sort of milk chocolate buttons, aren't they? Or white chocolate buttons. Would you like any of those in there? We've got some more down somewhere. Some more of those. What about over here? Oh, what's over here? Oh, that's money. We've got some things that are green. That's some money in there. There's some green ones in there. What about those ones in here? They're like mushrooms, aren't they? Want to try one of those?
Try
one.
No,
I
want that.
No? You sure you don't like these? These are very good. Yes, would you like to take that? Well done. Who likes cocoa ones? Maisie, do you like cocoa ones? Yes. Matthew, would you like to have those ones? They're good, aren't they? Yes. We'll put money in Dad's bill for you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good girl. Bye.
Oh, I've been thinking, you know, Lucy. You must get that door fixed.
The bell is out of control.
You've been here for a couple of weeks now, and I can't know how I managed to cope without you. You've been absolutely great. The place is lovely and tidy, and you've been such good company as well. Now, I think you well deserve your mince now.
Thank you, Mr. Clare.
Oh, please call me Eddie.
Eddie, I've had so much fun working here. It reminded me how much I loved working retail. I think I only wanted the chocolates because I was bored and a bit down about not having any work. I'm going to look after myself a bit more. All this up and down ladders, sweeping around. I'm cutting sweets altogether.
Oh, okay. You're not stopping eating altogether, are you?
No.
Oh, well, that's good, because what we're going to do, we're going to go out for lunch. We're going to shut the shop for a couple of hours, and I'm going to treat you to something to eat.
Okay.
As a thank you for all you've done. So, what would you like to eat, then? Would you like Chinese or Indian?
not you, is it?
How about some fish and chips? Perhaps you could mend that door, then.
I'll tell you what, Eddie. You surprise me.
I am really not responsible for the sound effects, okay? Okay. There's quite a few things that we need to pick up on those. And one of the important things is that this is a church service. And in a church service, we do a bit of singing, and we've done a bit of that. But what is very key is to have a look at what the Bible says. And there are prayers that are not answered, and that's a fact. And there's prayers that are answered, and that's a fact too. What does the Bible have to say in these sort of situations? And I wondered, and obviously it's not just about talking about prayer. There's no point talking about prayer. It's much more interesting and fruitful to sort of pray. And in prayer, there was one passage that came very clear to me. And there is somebody whose voice is very nice, with a very good English accent. So I have asked this person to read a short passage from the story of Joseph. Now, I will need a bit of help from people. There's quite a few people just busy with wrapping things up. What do you know about Joseph? The story of Joseph. Anything you would say just to sum up the story of this man. Okay, if you don't have any suggestions, don't worry, we will cover that. Okay, shall we do the reading first? Okay.
I'm reading from the King James Version, so those with the NIV will follow it, I hope. I'm reading from Genesis 45, and it's verses 1 to 13. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, who you sold in Egypt. But now do not go, therefore, be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For those 2 years that famine has been in the land, and for there are still 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to the Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, your flocks and your herds, for all that you have, There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. And there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hasten and bring my father down here. May God bless his word.
May God bless his words. I want you to use a little bit of imagination. And imagine that this Joseph, our Joseph we're talking from, is this person who was sold out by his own brothers, sold out as a slave. They put him in a pit and sold him to Bedouins, and he went off to a different place. So for a good 20 years, he didn't see any of his family. He had quite a lot of adventures with very highs and real lows. What were his prayers when he was first in this pit, not understanding what was happening to him? He had lived a very comfortable life, many sweets for him. He was the favored son of a very wealthy farmer. He had everything, all the sweets he could dream of. And then suddenly, he realizes that the fact that he was the favorite made his brothers really dislike him to the point that they decided to get him and sell him off. What were the prayers of his dad? He had this son that he really loved, and that son was gone. And the brothers even went very far in deception by just showing his clothing covered in goat's blood. That's a lot of deception. There was real intent to do wrong. Now, these prayers, these times where they were turning to God and sort of say, I do not quite get what is happening. I cannot see further than the next 10 minutes, and I am not happy with that. I'm feeling very uncomfortable with being taken away to a different land, having to learn different languages, which is a good thing, by the way, learning languages. Now, we have a task here, and the task is to rename the shop. I'm sure that we will all agree that it is not just about getting what you want, getting the sweets that you really want. And prayer is much more than asking, even if the word prayer itself in the English language is really connected with asking. Prayer is also a journey. It's an investigation. It's going deeper. It's a time off. It's finding out. There are many, many different ways to describe prayers, many different words we could use. Lament is one of them. Petition is one of them. Praise is another one. Investigation, I'd say, is another good word for prayer. Finding out what is God's heart. Okay, I need somebody who is not too short to be able to rename what we've got here, the shop. Okay? Come on in. Anybody. You want to come? Come on. Come in. I've got a job for you. What I would like you to do is rename the shop. Can you see the shop right at the top? And this is not the only way to look at it, really. It doesn't quite work that way. That's a journey. It's taking you places. Now, journey that might not take you exactly where you want. And this is very much the point of prayer. If prayer is simply asking for what you want, thank you so much. Do you want to do the next one? You can do the next one. Because there will be another renaming. Okay. If prayer was only getting what you ask, basically us bossing God about or controlling what God has to offer, that is missing the point, isn't it? It is a journey, and the journey maybe is not taking us where we want to go. It's not what we want to get or where we want to get. It's taking us somewhere different. Here's my second way of renaming that that place, and are you still ready for that? Okay. Thank you very much. I think we'll stop with this one. Okay. The lighthouse. That's another way, maybe, of looking at the journey. A lighthouse is never a place where you want to go to. Nobody sails to a lighthouse. Nobody really wants to get there. A lighthouse is normally in very rocky places, in dangerous areas. A lighthouse is telling the skipper, avoid this place. It's telling the skipper, okay, this is a fixed point, and your destination is somewhere else. And to me, this is also what prayer is about. It's having these fixed points, knowing that we've got that place over there and that other lighthouse over there. Vague glimmer, not sometimes very easy to see in the distance, in the mist, when you have no visibility. But it is your fixed point. But it is what is going to guide you. It is what is going to offer you that little bit of investigation that will help you map up your journey. Now, for Joseph, he didn't really have a map in hand. I don't think the Egyptians had maps yet, but they were going around the world in their interesting boats made of reeds, but it was floating. Joseph didn't have a map, but he, I'm sure, had to think long and hard about the God who he'd heard from by his father. And his father was telling him stories about his grandfather and their great-grandfather. Now, these lighthouses are mapping the journey that Joseph lived, suffered. Not all highs, many, many lows. But this lighthouse was working in that way. Now, a lighthouse is not on its own. There are many lighthouses along the shore. This is the whole point. And if we owe anything to the Egyptians, it's this idea of lighthouses. The very first lighthouses that we have found were built in Egypt, in the delta of the Nile River. We're going to sing again in a minute, My Lighthouse. And this is the idea I would like you to take away today. You need the lighthouse. You need maybe to have a look at the Bible, at the stories. No clicking fingers, no flying carpets in that book, but mapping up what the next step is.
We're going to end in a moment with a prayer. I'm conscious that although it's been a morning when we've talked a lot about prayer, we haven't actually prayed very much. But there's an opportunity to do that on this Tuesday at the chapel. There's pop at 7:45, so it would be great if we could make the effort to be there and to pray together as a church. I'm just going to end with this prayer. But just to remind you that there's tea and coffee being served at the back. So please stay for a drink. I don't know what Fee's done with my piece of paper. And just to let you know also that if you would like prayer this morning, then there's going to be some people that are willing to pray with you. So if you want that, then please just feel free to come forward. Just hold on, Matthew. Okay, let's just pray. I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, all that I hoped for. My prayer was answered. I was most truly blessed. Father God, help us to understand what prayer should be. Help us to see this world through your eyes and to offer prayers that reflect your heart. Help us to see that our lives are a journey and that you are our lighthouse, guiding our steps and lighting our way. Forgive us when we fail to see prayer as part of the relationship that we have with you and treat it as a list of wants and needs and not an opportunity to draw close and to seek you. Transform us through our prayers so that our prayers may transform others. In Jesus' name, amen.